Let's get things moving for a variety of reasons. There's a proposed agenda up in the corner there. Of course, this is a formal meeting, and it's recorded. Just to note that it's the Client Committee Meeting 17 on the 1st of September 2015. Welcome, everyone. I just thought a couple of points to make quickly. One is just to remind us all of the role and function of the Client Committee. I mean, these meetings are formal meetings, recorded, and essentially available for anyone to listen into and comment on and so on. The purpose really of the Client Committee is to try and make an efficient and effective channel of communication between a large work group, the CWG, and our professional advisors. In a sense, our remit's quite tight, and it's just important to remind us of that, and it's functional. It's to make sure that Sidley gets clear instructions, are able to get clarity on any detail on those instructions, and that we work with a very specific mandate from the group. It's not about us really workshopping in a lot of detail. Ideally, we've discussed things with the CWG or are able to take things back to the CWG and use the Client Committee as a functional means with which to channel effective and clear instruction to Sidley. With that and with the fact that we hadn't met for a while, Lisa and I had a sort of informal talk with Sharon and Holly at the back end of last week. I think it was Friday afternoon, my time last week, and briefly looked over the work that was either being done or might be being done in the near future. I think now is the opportunity to try and formalize that and make sure we do that. I wondered, Sharon or Holly, if it would be useful to us and Greg and Martin, Lisa, all of us, if you just very briefly summarized what you're actually doing right now on behalf of the CWG so we can be sure about what's actually going on. Then we've got some either instructions we can give you or prospective instructions we will give you in the near future if there are any questions or to give you any additional work. Perhaps first thing, it would be great to just get a brief summary of what you're working on and how your work is going on behalf of the CWG.
Jonathan, it's Sharon. I can take that. Let me just talk about what we're doing right now. One thing that we're doing is we are looking at some of the CCWG work, and this is more on behalf of CCWG, but we are looking at some of that work and making sure it's consistent with CWG requirements. Specifically, I took a look at the Jones Day memo, which you may have seen that was circulated regarding some of their views on implementation. We're doing that just kind of informally. The second thing is we did this bylaws matrix, and we've gotten some of the comments you've passed along, and we had the call with CWG, I guess, maybe 2 weeks ago. We've been just modifying it behind the scenes just to kind of keep it up to date. I see in the agenda that might be something that you want us to do more formally, but we've just been tracking it just so that we can kind of keep it current. The third thing is we did that memo on the intellectual property. There's nothing we're doing at this point. We're just on hold on that, but we're prepared to do more if more is requested. At this point, we're not doing a lot of work right now. We're, I think, kind of positioned to commence work, in particular on bylaw drafting, if that's something that the CWG wants us to do. At this point, the role is not that terribly active. Those are the things we're monitoring kind of more than anything else.
Sharon, that's helpful, and that puts us in a position then to be clear on what, if anything, of that should or could be done differently or worked further on. I think I'm going to suggest that actually we continue. Let's push anything to do, Grace and others, if you'll bear with me on this. I think let's push the financial monitoring and any process monitoring towards the end of the call, and let's go straight on into the actual work and where we are or might be on this. On that bylaws matrix, I felt, and Lisa and I talked about earlier, so I'd like to hear if Greg and Martin are with us on this and make sure that if we're not, we go back to the group or decide what the best approach is. The bylaws matrix felt to Lisa and myself like a useful tool to map out the position, to communicate a common understanding. And then I even went so far as to say to Lisa, it had a kind of term sheet type feel to it. It gave us a landscape, but wasn't the actual substance of the work. I have the feeling it may have fulfilled its purpose now and therefore doesn't necessarily need, save for continuing to serve that purpose, detailed updating. Because really, the question is, what's the real work? And the real work will be moving on to actually work on drafting of the bylaws. The question is, in some ways, when is that done? Now, what we had as a client committee, what I understood instructions were from the group and to pass on to Sidley, were that my understanding is that the CWG is comfortable with us asking Sidley to draft the bylaws. The CCWG chairs, Lisa and I have spoken with them. It was subject to talking with the CCWG chairs. And while that's not technically consistent with the process they are working on, they understand our motivation and are not in objection, they're not going to object to us doing that. So we are poised to ask you to work on the bylaws. One of the issues in my mind is timing, and we do have a call currently planned for Friday this week to just talk with the CCWG chairs and ICANN senior staff / legal, which is really Teresa and Sam from Teresa Swinehart and Sam from ICANN Legal, and just to make sure that all of us have a common understanding of how this bylaws work, in what sequence and what order. I think from the CWG perspective, our understanding is we will ask Sidley to make the primary draft of the CWG bylaws, related bylaws. And that's where I think we're going. So in terms of timing, I think we could formally expect to instruct you next week, subject to nothing coming out of the coordination call on Friday. But that is my understanding of where we are. Now, the next question will be at what pace we would expect you to work and what pace, and that is not, I guess that might also be impacted a little bit by the coordination call and making sure we're all on the same page on that. Lisa or anyone else, can you remind me if we're expecting anyone from Sidley on that coordination call? It wouldn't surprise me if we were. I just don't recall if we've actually invited you or made that arrangement.
Hi, Jonathan. This is Grace. So we invited Sharon and Holly from Sidley, and this is partly also because Holly is the link onto the CCWG side, so the CCWG chairs had requested Holly and Rosemary, and we put Sharon on the invitation as well since she's kind of the CWG link.
Right, so that's come out of, that's helpful and that's useful to know. So for everyone else's benefit then, that's come out of really, that's a product, that proposed or planned call, which is only scheduled for half an hour, which is probably insufficient. But that we'll have to work with that. That is planned to deal with, or it responds to something which came out of the chair, the CCWG and CWG chairs call, which said, fine, we don't object to you going ahead and working with Sidley to draft your bylaws directly, the bylaws related to your work directly, or at least provide the first draft of those. But we do need to make sure that everyone, advisors, CCWG, CWG, and ICANN are clear and understand who's doing what when. And so that's the purpose of that call, to make sure that we are properly coordinated. And that's the plan there. And as I say, then thereafter, I would expect that this client committee is in a position to issue instruction and give guidance on the timing to Sidley for that bylaws work early next week. Greg, go ahead.
Thanks, it's Greg Shatton. I guess I remember in Singapore, first overall, I'm glad to hear there's coordination on this particular point with the CCWG and Sidley as kind of the hinge. I think that's just the right approach. I do recall in Buenos Aires a fair amount of back and forth on who would hold the pen first and all that sort of thing, especially with regard to the CCWG bylaws, but I don't actually recall if a protocol or process had ended up being worked out at that time. I just got off, as did Holly, from the CCWG's call this morning, and there was some discussion on that call as well of getting started on the bylaws drafting, and it seemed like we had started that conversation as if there wasn't a lot of background discussion, but there had been, that way that you often get, kind of two steps back when you rejoin an issue you haven't joined for a while. So I don't know if Holly recalls better than I, well, it wouldn't be hard to recall better than I, what was arrived at and the like. Certainly, my overall feeling is that the initial drafting should be done by lawyers based on the overall framework that we've already established for what those bylaws should say, and as to who holds the pen between Sidley and ICANN, my preference would be Sidley, but we could deal with it if ICANN held the pen first. But I don't know quite what was worked out and how that affects what we're doing here. So I see Holly's got a hand up, so I'll shut up. Thanks.
So it sounds like the co-chairs of the two groups have had a discussion, and there's agreement that Sidley can take the first holding of the pen on the CWG bylaws, related bylaws. There has not yet been clear direction, to my mind, on the CCWG side, Greg, and I'm hoping that we will get that. I've said it before, I'll say it again. We're happy to work in any way that people would like us to. We do think that there are some efficiencies to having us hold the pen for CCWG in the first instance, given that we've sort of lived through it on a daily basis and really understand some of the nuances, the intentions, and the motivations that that others may not. That became a little bit more apparent to us in reviewing the Jones Day analysis of the second proposal that we just took a look at. And it's clear that there's some things that maybe the proposal is not as clear on, and yet the group has a fair sense of direction. So with that being said, I think that's an issue for CCWG to work out. Maybe we'll talk about it on Friday. We're chomping at the bit to get clear direction on, what folks want us to do next. But I think we're getting greater clarity on the CWG side, which we welcome.
Thanks. I'm glad that my recollection of a lack of clarity was actually an accurate recollection rather than a personal issue with lack of clarity. And I agree.
So I'd just say I have a slightly different perspective on that, Greg and Holly, but it's not inconsistent. It's just slightly. I think that my understanding was that in effect, a proposal had been was being arrived at, whereby the first draft of the CCWG work would be done by ICANN/Jones Day. Based on the rationale that they were generally a development on the existing base of bylaws which had been prepared and drafted by those parties originally. You've just put an additional wrinkle on that, Holly, which is interesting, and I think it affects the CWG to some extent as well, although it's probably not a topic for this call, in that whilst the intent is clear, the proposers don't necessarily always convey that intent quite as unequivocally as they might for all sorts of reasons. So, agreed. There may be further discussion with the CCWG about how to best do this. The rationale that was discussed and in a sense accepted by the CCWG chairs in relation to the CWG work was in effect, we are starting with a clean slate with respect to the CWG bylaws, CWG-related bylaws, and therefore it made for those bylaws to be drafted by, in the first instance, by those that had advised the CWG on its work. So there was a clear, in talking between the chairs, there was an understood rationale for why these two might be different, notwithstanding the fact that, as you said, Holly, that may change given the Jones Day memo or other new facts or information. Holly, yeah, if that's a new hand, please go ahead.
And I understand. I certainly, you know, that's much more information than we've been provided on sort of the rationale of where CCWG might be and what the rationale might be. And we're happy to go any way that folks want to. We think that the existing bylaws are pretty clear on their face. We think that they could be improved upon, even absent any of the kinds of changes that CCWG and CWG are making, just from a clarity perspective. But if folks want the original drafters to take the 10 in the first instance, that's fine with us.
Thanks, Holly. That's out of our remit, but I just thought it was useful to share with you what we had experienced in our coordination calls with the other chairs. From the CWG perspective, just to reiterate, we have an agreement from the CWG that at the right time, which may be as early as early next week, we as a client committee can instruct you to start work on the bylaws related to the CWG work. I think what Lisa and I propose we wait for is at minimum just to go through the coordination call on Friday and make sure that there's a common understanding and we don't do any kind of stop-start or do any right-angle bends immediately after having done so. So that's my expectation, that us as a client committee will be in a position to instruct you. I'm not sure of the timing, it's the speed with which we'll need to work, but at least to give you an indication that that's our plan as early next week. Greg?
Thanks. A couple things. I'll bypass the CCWG issue for the moment. But with regard to going back to the bylaws matrix for a second, I'm wondering whether that and I note Martin's comment in the chat, that, you know, we need a plan for how the whole thing will go forward. It seems to me that the bylaws matrix could be a useful kind of framework and punch list to some extent to inform the work of both the CWG and the CCWG as it moves forward. If not, maybe then some other document, but that has the advantage of already existing. And being kind of a useful distillation of kind of the bylaws effect, if you will, of all of our work and really of the CCWGs as well. I think that we may not retire that, or we may consider not retiring that, but rather seeing if it will be useful in kind of keeping track of what's being done. Obviously, they'll need to be referenced back to the underlying documents to make sure we're getting it right. But it seems that having some sort of, compact and viewable reference would be really helpful. I know there were some requests for corrections that came, I think, through the or amendments of some sort that came through the CCWG front. I'm not sure that we had anything that came through ours, but that's just a thought as a useful tool. Thanks,
Greg. I think personally, I tend to agree with you, and I see that Sharon does in the chat as well. So, yeah, I mean, I think it feels to me like it's useful as a tool, a map, a punch list, whatever you like to call it. As long as we don't make work for the sake of updating the sheet, and it is a useful tool and roadmap. to my mind, it makes sense to keep it current, and I'm sure, I suspect we feel, have a common view of that. That's okay. It just, I didn't want us to be, didn't feel right that we were saying update the bylaws matrix for the sake of keeping it current. If it's a useful communications device and tool, then great. Let's use it as such. I see a check mark from Lisa and Greg, just checking if that's your previous hand. Yeah, great. So I think we're at one on that. Let's nudge things on then, and I think we have a plan there. We utilize the bylaws matrix to the extent that it makes sense in both CCWG and CWG. We instruct Sidley as soon as possible, subject to the coordination call on Friday, and we note Martin's point that, you know, an overall plan of which this bylaws matrix makes sense to have as part of that is there, so everyone can see who's doing what and in what way. What about, Lisa, these two points, which Greg effectively touched on a moment ago, that they're coming out of the CCWG, the appeals mechanism and the approval veto issue? I think those are going on in parallel. Do we need to say anything about that now, or do we just need to note that there's work going on there? I guess that's a question to Lisa, probably.
Yeah, thank you, Jonathan. It's Lisa for the record. I think we should note that those are going on. I know there are people who are trying to look at the appeal mechanism and find a way to satisfy the concern that has been raised. So I know there is work going on that. And regarding the budget issue, veto versus approval, the group as such agreed that the veto was fine. There were some concern regarding the actual procedure if a veto could uphold the IANA budget, and we would need to look into this. And I have promised to look into this and get back to the group with the actual procedure that's been proposed by the CCWG. So I'm looking into this, and we'll have that ready at the latest for the meeting on Thursday. Thank you.
Okay, so that becomes a topic for the meeting for Thursday then, rather than something we need to go into a lot of detail now, and it's useful to have that update.
Yes, I agree.
Greg?
Thanks. I just briefly, on the issue of the IRP or some sort of review of decisions relating to IANA, I think that's still, I'm participating in the CCWG as well, and I think that's still something that we have, between the two groups, still, you know, I have a great lack of clarity about, and that what we've specified, you know, was not a review of board of ICANN board decisions about PTI, but was really a review of PTI actions or inactions. So the IRP, as it currently exists, is set to review ICANN board actions. So I think the question is whether that's an unmet dependency on our, that, you know, that the CCWG hasn't met that we've specified. So I think we still need to focus on that, and just more generally, you know, we need to, you know, make sure that we're rock solid that the CCWG has met all our dependencies, because, you know, this was noticed by a single member of the CCWG kind of raising the question that this doesn't look like it lines up correctly.
Thanks, Greg. Well, that's probably a timely point to go to 2B, but before doing so, I'll acknowledge Lisa's hand. Let's go to Lisa.
Thank you, Jonathan. I just want to mention that I'm sorry if I gave the impression that this was not going to be dealt with or being looked at, but it is being looked at, and I agree with you, Greg. We need to look at it and assure that if there's any, if it doesn't meet the requirements set by the CWG regarding the appeal mechanism, we would need to come up with a proposal on how to actually meet it. So that's being looked at the moment. Thank you.
Who is looking at that?
Okay, so repeat that.
I noting the use of the passive voice. I guess the question is, who is looking at that?
I know that Becky Burr from the CCWG is looking at it together with Alan McGillery from CWG.
Okay, yeah, it was Alan, who one of the first people who kind of raised that question. Thanks.
Yeah, it was. Thank you.
Okay, so let's have a look then at this work on monitoring dependencies and requirements of our dependencies on the CCWG proposal. I think what we understand here, and to some extent we touched on this briefly in the sort of management call, if you like, with or informal call between the and Holly and Sharon on Friday, is that we were trying to understand what, if any, work is going on. And I think as a matter of course, the understanding we came away from that was, is that as a matter of course, both through their work, Sidley's work with the CCWG, and with one eye on any work they may be expected or asked to do for us, they are in effect monitoring those dependencies continuously. Where we need to get to with is an instruction to ask Sidley, and my impression is that we are empowered to and can give that instruction today, to ask Sidley to report back to us on the meeting of our dependencies by the CCWG in its current proposal. Now, they've done that on a previous draft, so in effect we're asking for an update to that. But I think what we need to do is ask for that, get that delivered to the back to the CWG, and my understanding is we are empowered to ask for this by the group, and correct me if I'm wrong or remind me if I'm misremembering something. And in receiving that, we will submit that on behalf of the CWG to the CCWG at the back end of their public comment period. That's the process I think we are going to go through or need to go through. Does anyone see it any differently, or any comments or points on that? Is that where we're headed, and is my understanding correct? Greg?
My only comment would be that if we had our work done any earlier than the end of the public comment period, we should submit it. Although, given that the public comment period, I believe, ends on the 12th, it may be that we won't have it done any time before then. The sooner the better in terms of getting this all done.
Thanks. Good, fair point. So, so for the avoidance of doubt, Sharon and Holly, I think we would like you to come to report back to us on the proposal or update your last report on that, so that we have something formally within the CWG that we can submit as part of the CCWG that confirms the meeting of the dependent and closes that particular loop. Are you okay with doing that? And have you got any sense of when you will be able to deliver that to us?
So if I may, it's Holly. Could we do that in the form of a comment that you would submit to the CCWG? Is that the form in which you would like this?
That would be very helpful. I don't know what others think. I think that would mean it would shortcut a step in the process, that we wouldn't have to do anything more. So in effect, you draw.
That's what I assume as well. I think we might as well just cut to the chase. Sharon, do you want to weigh in on time frame? I don't think it's time intensive. I think it's just a matter of, you know, finding the time in the next, 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, Holly, I was thinking we should be able to have that complete by early next week. you know, I would think on Monday or Tuesday.
That sounds good.
Sounds great to me. Any further comments or questions on that? Okay, good, and thanks, Martin. I see you're pleased about that as well in the chat. So I think that deals with item two. And in effect, our discussions so far have dealt with item three, I think, as well. But Sharon, what did you want to say?
One clarification on the two open points, the budget and the appeals. If you could just keep us updated, you know, as to, for example, on budget, whether if veto is fine, then we can confirm that that's a dependency that's been met, and if it's not, we would want to let the CCWG know that. So if you can just keep us current on those discussions, that would be helpful. Thanks.
Thanks, we will do, and I think, Lisa, are you happy to be the point person on that, Lisa?
Yes, I am. I will be.
Okay, great, wonderful. Well, yes, Sharon, we will do, and we'll channel that through you, through Lisa to you. Now, consideration of prospective legal work, which is item three. In effect, we've dealt with that in our previous discussions. Have I missed something? Is there something else we should be discussing in terms of our consideration of prospective legal work at this stage? I think in some senses this is an opportunity for us. If there's anything here that we haven't covered that needs to be taken back to the group on Thursday's meeting, we can do that. I don't think we have missed anything. I hope I haven't got a blind spot here.
This is Greg. I guess I'll just raise my pet issue, which is the trademarks and domain names issue. So I think that seems to have kind of resolved itself in the initial in the initial stage, but I think that the next stage that was contemplated was to, you know, specify what would be needed in a new owner of the trademarks and the domain names. I don't know if we're going to, when we want to get to that, and there are certain good reasons not to do it right now, but on the other hand, it's something to keep an eye on, since it's now been resolved, you know, pretty much that they will be owned by a new owner and not by ICANN, but that, you know, other than that minimum requirement, everything else is at least arguably up for grabs, and that, you know, we haven't focused on what the requirements or our requirements would be for such a new owner, and whether we want to have Siddeley deal with that initially, or how we want to approach that and when we want to approach that, are questions. And I don't necessarily want that to be a distraction now if it doesn't need to be, but we had discussed going back to that relatively quickly the last time we touched on that. Thanks.
Thanks, Craig. It's an important point, even if it is a pet point of yours. Lisa, did you want to add to that?
Yes, I would. While I agree it's a very important point, I think it's a little premature to discuss it at this stage, because I would like us to focus on the actual public comment periods and what is lacking in our proposal, where we are dealing with the actual response on the IPR, which is going to be sent out very soon, and And furthermore, we have the SLE we're going to discuss at some point that are also outstanding issues. So I think instead of looking at the actual implementation, where I think what Greg is what Greg is talking about is, belongs, we should focus on these and actually discuss this with the group at a later stage, not at the meeting on Thursday, and not on this call either. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Lisa. But it is clear, just to be clear for everyone's point, that as Greg says, we will need to deal with the requirements and specifications for that third-party entity or that independent entity in the future, but it is currently envisaged for not immediate, but as part of the implementation work. And as you say, there's other matters to be dealt with right now, but it won't be forgotten, Greg, I assure you. So mindful of where we are in the time of this call and what we need to get sorted out, the other point that we wanted to just touch on was the effectiveness or not. I'm not sure we can answer here, but in part we might get some of the answer here of our financial monitoring and financial and process monitoring, really our management of the relationship. Certainly from my point of view, this feels like a productive call. The bit that's missing is insight into the prospective costs and how we manage those fees and closing that loop. And in part, that's about us, as in the community part of the client committee or the client committee, having a clear relationship with ICANN on this. But I know we have been asking Sidley up for quotes, and I'm not sure how comfortable or easy that is to work with. What we should then be doing in any event is checking the bills against those quotes, or someone needs to be doing that. And then really this is a loop we need to close with ICANN. But I think we felt that it was useful just at least raising it and checking how effectively this was working at the moment or not, and getting any comments from either the client committee or the advisors as to how this is working. And Greg, thanks for your patience in putting a pin in the IPR issue while we get the ICG process through the public comment and deal with the minimum work that we've done so far. Go ahead, Holly, and then.
So, you know, we really want you to feel like you're getting value. And to that end, at the outset of this project, provided a discount. And at that time, we did not talk about quoting and estimating for each project. We can quote and estimate for each project, but it takes us time, and invariably, the quotes will be off. Because they're not hard quotes, they're really estimates. They will be off because of things that we can't anticipate. How much back and forth happens with the people in the CWG wanting adjustments and whatnot, the kinds of questions that arise. So this is a challenge for us. It really is, and we're happy to talk about it. I do think that one of the things that you don't currently have access to is our bills, and we have agreed with CCWG to provide the co-chairs, not the group, but the co-chairs with access to our bills so they can see how we're spending time. We don't want our bills to become public. We just don't think that that's going to be helpful for anybody. So with that as our sort of the, you know, statement at the outset, we're interested in any ideas that you have about how to make this feel like a value proposition. We do think that this has been one of the more challenging kinds of projects to work on from a cost perspective because of the bottoms-up multi-stakeholder nature. And so things take 3 and 4 times longer than we expect in sort of a normal course. I'll give you an example. I mean, if you were to ask us now for an estimate on drafting bylaws, that would be a very challenging thing for us to do because we have no idea what the communication and give and take will be. Although I do expect that it will be much different than most instances when we're told the goal and we go in a dark cave and we draft bylaws and then the client reviews and comments on them. We understand that's not the process here, and so it's very difficult to estimate. Sharon, do you want to add to that at all or disagree with me?
No, Holly, I completely agree.
Holly, thanks. That's helpful. I think the challenge we face collectively to some extent is, and the thing we need to avoid is what happened to us in Buenos Aires, where in effect we had large sums of money being approved by the board and publicly making us look like we had spent a lot of money without proper control over that expenditure. And ironically, that was sort of unreasonable given that we had set up the client committee and been prudent in our management and specifically fought hard within the group to make sure that we had an efficient and effective channel to manage the relationship with Sidley, our advisors, in part thinking about effective management of costs. So I think it's less about challenging the value and more making sure we avoid the sort of sticker shock type situation and having an effective sort of circle of management that we anticipate the cost and then are able to check against that anticipated cost. I understand your point, Holly, on the bylaws thing, and that's a very specific one. But again, even there, what might be useful is to give an indication of the first draft. You can't determine the cost of the project because you can't determine the number of iterations, but you might be able to say, and I think it would be helpful to us if you were to give guidance estimates in that way. I know you want to respond, and I know Greg's in the queue, so Greg, since you were in the queue, you may want to comment, but let me let Holly also would like to say something, so I'll hold off now.
Holly, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, just a quick comment. One of the things that happened in Buenos Aires that we hadn't been aware of at the outset was that because our first bills essentially collected about a longer period of time on each side, they went over a threshold that required board approval, which also made it all public. And that was really unfortunate that we hadn't been told about that. And we had started in a mid-month, so we ended up with sort of almost a two-month run for the first bill. But, so we're watching for that. But we agree absolutely with you, Jonathan, and we can certainly provide an estimate on the bylaw side once we have a better sense after the Friday call of how people think it will work. For a first draft.
I'm coming to you right away, but Holly, thank you. I think in a general sense, any indication you can give us of what our requests either are going to cost as a package and on an ongoing basis, and then we can check that against those and at least be seen to be being responsible on the cost side. Quite how we do that, whether it's the co-chairs or this group sees those bills, that's a separate point that we should come to in a minute. But, Greg, go ahead.
Thanks, Greg Shatton, and I'll speak with kind of two different hats to some extent, you know, as a client in this regard, but also as a lawyer who's only really been an outside counsel in 29 years of practice. The first, what I have been taught and what I in turn teach those who work for me is that a bill, as they stand these days, not when we started practicing, Holly, when it said for services rendered $1.5 million, but now a bill is it's an essential part of communication to the client about what you're doing, why you're doing, or at least what you're doing, how you're doing it, and that it's a functional part in that case of management of the outside firm by the client. So we've been actually, in my mind, deprived of an essential tool for managing not just the financial aspect, but an overall window into how the work is being done for us. And, you know, shame on me being kind of closer to that issue than many of us for not being more insistent earlier that we really should have that tool at our disposal. Otherwise, we're kind of working in the dark, or it becomes like a black box out of which work emanates. And budgeting is useful up to a point, but putting my outside counsel hat on, even in normal circumstances, being asked for an estimate or a budget is often an exercise in nailing mercury to the wall. You know, if it's something that's fairly straightforward, like, you know, preparing and filing a U.S. trademark application and seeing it through to registration with no highly untoward issues, that I can give you a number for. But when we get to things like, you know, drafting and negotiating a complex trademark license agreement, the best you can really tend to do is orders of magnitude. Anything over that is either an exercise in risk shifting or in very rough predictions. You know, if you break things down into phases, then maybe you get a little bit more accuracy, but not necessarily a lot, because it's all, you know, trying to predict the future. And as Holly indicated, the budgeting exercise itself becomes time-consuming. So, you know, my view is that it's important to get orders of magnitude. You know, is this a $10,000 request or a $100,000 request? Because there can be times when it's very easy to ask a question, but to get the answer, you know, is you know, then becomes some huge thing. Like, you know, a 50-state survey on current practices in commercial contracting for software. You know, that could take 6 months, and it took me, you know, 10 seconds to say it. So that's the kind of thing, you know, that's where budgeting or estimates can be useful. But trying to say whether something's going to be $25,000 or $35,000, you know, is really becomes an exercise. It's not terribly helpful. Knowing whether something is $25,000 or $250,000 is more useful, much more useful. I think that, and the last point is that we can't afford to get blindsided again, as we were, you know, through a combination of circumstances in Buenos Aires. We need to look like we are managing well, and that really includes having some appropriate subset of the client, and that's not just ICANN, you know, reviewing the bills, both to see, make sure that there haven't been kind of misunderstandings, but also just to see that essential communication to us by our lawyers as to, you know, how they're doing things, how they're working together, who's contributing. And it also helps us to justify not only ourselves as managers of the lawyers, but when somebody says, well, how did this, you know, come out to be $475,000, you know, we will have an insight into it, because it required, you know, XYZ things to be done by certain people. You know, there are people working on these things that, you know, don't show up on our calls, I assume. That's the way everybody works, pretty much. You know, it's helpful to know why and how things are done. It helps in the overall dialogue. And without it, we're kind of operating, you know, as I said, a bit in the dark, and that really doesn't, you know, work to our benefit. It doesn't make us either good, you know, the best managers we can be, or have the best appearance of management that we can proffer. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. Well, we've got 5 minutes to go. So my sense is we understand each other. We got, as you said, blindsided in Buenos Aires. We do need, as far as it's possible, without subjecting to Sidley to undue work, to get in estimates or indications of cost when we seek to do a piece of work. And I think you're right. It's that the question is often simple. The answer may or may not be more time-consuming. So I think that would be very helpful to get that from Sidley as far as possible and whenever possible. And I think we need to decide, and it feels to me like it's this group should have at least some sight of the bills, so that we both instruct and monitor, and we need to talk to ICANN about providing that to us and ensuring that the group understands that, notwithstanding the fact that the work of this client committee is generally transparent, that would be subject to not being transparent, but part of our responsible managing of the relationship. So that feels to me like the right way to do it. Holly.
So that sounds fine with us, and we have no objection to sharing, to having ICANN share the bills with you on the condition, of course, that you will hold them confidential.
Understood, Holly, and that was taken as implicit, but I'm glad you made it explicit. And that's clearly on record within this meeting. So let's talk with ICANN. So we need an action on this group to talk with ICANN about doing that, and also to communicate that same point to the CWG itself. I think that's a useful discussion, and mindful of the time, and especially some of us have got an extra meeting to go to immediately after this, and not to mention other cost building. Let's go on then to, I think there's a suggestion implicit in item five, is that actually we meet on an ad hoc basis rather than a regular basis. It may be that the most pragmatic is to keep the call scheduled every 2 weeks and simply cancel it when not necessary. That's what I would propose to you. Have it as a two-weekly regular call with cancellation within 48 hours, if possible, when it's not required. Any objections? Yeah, Sharon requested 30 minutes earlier. That's no problem with me. I could have it a full hour earlier if that was helpful. Anyone object to an hour earlier or 30 minutes earlier? Let's do it a full hour earlier. Every 2 weeks, but subject to cancellation when it's not required. So we put a placeholder in an hour earlier than current. Okay, Holly, I'm thinking that's an old hand, so just interrupt me if it's not. And any other business? Good. Thanks, everyone. We're 1 minute before the top of the hour. I think that was a productive meeting. We've got a list of actions and outcomes there. We'll review those after the meeting and just make sure they're online. They're in line with what we were thinking. So that's good. It feels like we're clear and a useful meeting to have. So from my point of view, thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, all.